please turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And as we turn to the book of Matthew, today begins a new series. Now, you're probably not going to be excited about it. It's all right. The name of this series is called Money, Money, Money. I'm giving you a chance to leave right now. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. You know, the money is always a sore subject. In just in individual lives. We're not even talking about the church yet. Just in individual lives. But if you, money is a sore subject. But if you and I are reading the same Bible, this Bible talks a whole lot about money. Again, I'm giving you the chance to leave now. When you have the book of Matthew chapter 6, please turn with me to verse 19. Verse 19. And I will be reading verses 19 through 21. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you still need some time, say, wait a minute. Everybody's got it. The book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 19th through the 21st verses read as follows out of the New King James Version. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and where moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The title of this sermon is simply this: Money Talks. Money talks. It is said that there are four types of communication. There's verbal communication, what you say out loud when you talk, what I'm using right now. There's the nonverbal communication. It's what you don't say out loud when you talk. You know, body language, tone. There's written communication. Emails, letters, texts. All of us have something. Having a written communication from the Lord. And then there's visuals. Art, graphs, pictures, etc. I want to throw in another form of communication. And that form of communication is money. Money communicates something. Money talks. But if money talks, well, what is it saying? Now, when you have heard the phrase money talks, it's usually talking about power and influence. It seems like the more money you have, the more power and influence you have. For the people that say money talks, what money says is I'm important. I'm powerful. I command your attention. I deserve your respect. And the more money you have, the louder you talk. Now, this is not new. We've been saying the same thing from the beginning. Rappers, but rap, you know, we like to talk about today's rappers, but rappers are not the first people to talk about money. Actors and actresses are not the first people to throw their money around and act like they're all that. People have been what the young folks call flexing. People have been flexing their money for thousands of years. People have been showboating their money since day one. Unfortunately, we have seen it in the church as well. I'm not going to talk about St. John Baptist Church, but every other Baptist church seems like, it seems like people respect the ones who tithe well. The ones that support the building program or the mission fund. See, they get the power and the influence to direct how the church goes. I mean, yeah, you know, the pastor's there, right? He's there, but really, I mean, when the rubber really meets the road, the big shots call the shots. But if you don't have the money, too bad. Those big shots, well, hey, too bad. Money talks. Money talks. And you ain't speaking the language. See, we've got these prosperity gospel preachers who always want to talk about the things that they have. They believe and preach that if you have a lot of things, it's because God blessed you. Right? See, you see, if God blesses you, you're going to have a lot of things. If you don't have these things, well, you've got to name it and claim it, blab it, grab it, speak it and receive it. If you continue to not have these things, you are either disobedient or you simply lack faith. Basically, since money talks, the people that have more money, more things, more power, more influence say, well, you know what? I'm more spiritual than you. I mean, clearly God has blessed me more than you. God likes me more than you. See, Jesus was dealing with a similar issue in Matthew. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was pitting the Pharisees' words and actions versus what he said. The general theme of Jesus' preaching was that we have a choice. I mean, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, you know, chapters 5, 6, 7, when you look at it, he's talking about we have a choice. We can do things the earthly way, or we can do things the heavenly way. I mean, that's what it all breaks down to. We can follow what people say, or we can do what God says. He talked about all kinds of subjects: love, the law, adultery, retaliation, charity, prayer. Jesus was presenting everything as a choice. Do it the world's way or do it God's way? My Lord. And of course, Jesus was going to spend some time talking about money. You know, Jesus, more than anything else. What? Huh? He talked more about money than about heaven and hell. He talked more about money than he talked about his crucifixion and salvation and evangelism, everything. Jesus obviously knew that money mattered to his audience, so he talked about it. Isn't it interesting that the world will spend so much time talking about money to us, but then we try to avoid the subject? Maybe that's part of the reason we act so worldly with our money. Jesus knew about the money talks attitude. He knew that the Pharisees were like our prosperity gospel preachers today, getting rich off the people of God, but would then turn around and rip them off for even more. Now, keep in mind that Pharisees were likable people. You know, people wanted to be like them. You know, some things never change, right? Well, them. When you got that kind of money, I wonder why people would want to be like them. Money talks. I mean, if you're that successful, you must be doing something right. Right? God must certainly be blessing you, right? Well, here's the thing. We've been talking for the last few minutes about what we say when money talks, but we really haven't gotten to why money talks. Jesus likes to spend time talking about the why. Have you noticed that? He doesn't just like to tell you what to do, but he really wants to get into why. Why does money have this type of power? How come money represents influence? And what when it's all said and done, what is the heavenly way? I mean, we understand the earthly way, right? But what is the heavenly way of looking at all of this? There are three topics. Three general topics that Jesus brings up. The topic number one is the topic of treasure. Treasure. Each verse, verse 9-21, mentions the word treasure. All right. Now, maybe some of you grew up with a treasure chest in your house, or maybe you would find or play games that, you know, where you have to go search out the treasure. Treasure was not only something valuable, but specifically, what treasure was something that could be stored up. In ancient Israel, there were three general types of treasure. Okay, remember the three G's. There were garments, you know, clothes, grain, and gold. Money. They were always stored up and protected from harm. They could be sold and traded. They had a lot of value. And if one of them had more, then they had more power and influence. But Jesus does something interesting here. Remember the whole earth versus heaven thing? He acknowledges that, you know, this money that is treasure, but he calls it the treasures on earth. He then starts to talk about treasures in heaven. What are those treasures in heaven? Now, the true, honest answer is, I don't really know. I know that Christ is our ultimate treasure. I know that we will have dwelling places in heaven, but the rest of these treasures, the rest of what we're talking about, rewards, I don't really know what they are. I know that we get them. That's what the Sermon on the Mount was about. You know, if you pray to the Father openly and, you know, like the hypocrites do, you have your reward. But if you pray to your Father in secret, he will reward you in secret. So we get rewards. And I'd assume that that reward is our treasure. But we don't know the specifics. But the way Jesus puts it, the treasure in heaven is better than the treasure on earth. I mean, think about it. Revelation 21 talks about we will be walking on streets of gold. But we walk on streets of concrete and tar. But we will be walking in heaven on streets of gold. The thing we chase and desire and spend our savings over and kill people over, we'll be walking on it in heaven. I mean, really, just imagine. I know we got to redo the parking lot. Imagine redoing the parking lot in gold. What? Imagine the front of the church when people come up is gold. Huh? But you see what Jesus is doing? He is hinting that the treasure in heaven is better than the treasure on earth. We spend so much time trying to stack money so that we can have a fat bank account and look good and throw money around, but this life is temporary. We're going to a place where our money won't matter. Whether you're a Christian or not, we're going to a place where our money won't matter. See, this is what it looks like to be the things that we chase, that we realize that the things of this world, the things that we chase over and dedicate ourselves to, are nothing in heaven. We're going to be in heaven a lot longer than we're going to be here. We're like a little vapor that'll go away. But in heaven, it's eternal. See, the question for us is this. Do we believe that the treasures of heaven are really better than the treasures on earth? Do we honestly think that the money that we make on earth, the gold and the silver and the platinum and everything that we accumulate here, do we really believe that all of that together is nothing compared to just one of the rewards that we get in heaven? If we really believed it, how would that change us? Wouldn't we want to do the things to get the heavenly treasure? Wouldn't we spend less time trying to be rich down here and spend more time trying to be rich up there? There's nothing wrong with working. Okay? God commands it. In fact, he commanded it before the fall. We're supposed to work. No problem. There's no problem with working. There's no problem with saving money. I mean, if you read Proverbs, it promotes it. You know, Jesus himself had Judas in the group, and he was their treasurer, meaning he saved and kept the money for them. But what we're talking about is that we would want to look to heaven and spend our time working for that. Be heavenly minded. Yes, there's things we got to do here, but don't spend your time just trying to be super powerful and influential and rich to where people have to respect you here. Build your wealth up there. Treasure the things above. Now let's look at something else. Why do we store treasures up? Why do we put them away? There's a second thing that Jesus talks about, which is Security. Security. The reason we put treasure is that we want to protect them from going away. Let me say it like this. In ancient Israel, they would try to close off the rooms that had, you know, garments in them, expensive garments. They would want to lock the barns that had the grain in it. And with the gold, they would actually go in the middle of the field or deep in their house, and they would bury it. Now, why? Because if garments are stored up and left alone for long periods of time, especially in that kind of weather, moths would come and eat. They would actually eat the fabric. You can Google this now. The moths would come and eat the fabric. Now, when we talk about rust in the Bible, it's kind of an odd translation. The original word talks about eating. That would apply to the grain, right? You know, if you had mice and other types of rodents and things like that come through and eat your savings. And obviously gold could be stolen by the thieves. Now, isn't that how safe? It just seems like things never change, right? No matter how safe our earthly treasures are, there are always ways that they can be taken from us. We have alarm systems, but if they're smart enough, they know how to disable those alarm systems. We have bank accounts, but you know what? They can be hacked. We have IRAs and 401ks and investment properties. But if anyone remembers 10 years ago, the Great Recession, well, let's just say the lesson from then was what we thought was secure really isn't. This is why Jesus urges us to store our treasures in heaven. We don't have to worry about people mismanaging our money in heaven. We won't need locks or alarms or police or lawyers in heaven. We'll be in a place where sin has been totally removed, where things don't decay nor do they depreciate, where housing markets don't suddenly change, where thieves cannot gain access. Do you realize that there is 100% that you won't take everything you earn from this earth? See, because some of us say, well, you know, maybe your alarm system doesn't work. But the way I got mine set up, maybe your bank account is, you know, but like Kevin Hart, the way I got my bank account set up. See, people, even if you avoid these problems here on earth, your money still stays when you go. And you know what? That drives some people crazy. Some people can't sleep at night because they know that when they die, they have no idea what's going to happen to their money. They've spent their lives making all of this money, their millions and billions. And remember, in the world, money talks, right? So they have that. But then they know that as they face death, their money's not going to talk no more. They won't have control. Crazy, isn't it? We store our treasures in heaven because there is 100% guaranteed security. Up there. You know, you have to pay. You know, you have to pay for extra security here, extra insurance here. You got to pay for that. And even then, sometimes you just don't know. But up there, we know that what we do for Christ will, shall, guaranteed, will last. Every little thing we do here, every time we follow the word of God, every time we pray in secret, every time we help the poor, every time we're there for the wounded and the brokenhearted, every time that we do the things of God and stand up for righteousness, every single time we do it, we know that we are getting a reward up there. And that reward will not be deducted. That reward will not be transferred. That reward will not have a little interest thing going on with it. That reward is secure. And we already talked about it's worth, just one of those rewards is worth more than everything here. It's secure. Why spend your life chasing after something that's not secure? Lose it, your money, because money talks? Are you afraid that if you lose it, your money won't talk anymore? An earthly mindset seeks security. But a heavenly mindset doesn't have to worry about security. You know, another interesting thing is that the more money you have here, the more you worry about keeping it. You know, there's a phrase that says, more money, more problems. You know, some of us think that if we just had a million, we would solve all our problems. And yes, there's a lot of problems we would solve, but we don't see the new problems we would have. All of the new friends we would get. All of the family members that show up. Taxes. Y'all know there's tax brackets, right? And then thieves, you know, thieves ain't gonna spend their time on somebody making 40 a year. But man, if you got some millions in your bank, so ultimately, where we store our treasures will say a lot about us. The money truly does talk. And that's where the last point comes in. See, we talked about security, about treasure. We talked about security. Now let's talk about the heart. Look, Jesus, in verse 21, when he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is not saying anything new. He's not. This is something they already knew. But the way that Jesus applies it is different. See, he knew where people's hearts were. And he knew that people's hearts lined up with their treasures. Let me tell you something. My dad's right there. You can ask him. He told me something I never, ever forgot when I was younger. He said, if you follow the dollar, everything makes sense. If you follow the path of the dollar bill, the things that are going crazy in the world and you just don't, if you follow where the money goes, things tend to make sense. If you want to know a person, if you want to know something about a person, just look at how they spend their money. Just follow the matter of fact. You'll learn some interesting things. Matter of fact, let's turn it on ourselves. If we look at our own spending, we'll learn some interesting things. Seriously, I mean, sit down and check your account. Do the math. Do the math. You know, if you know pie charts, you get this amount of money. How much money goes to this, goes to this, goes to this? What do you actually spend your money on? But see, here's an even more important question. How do you use your money to invest in heavenly treasures? Now, you know, I thank God that it's not that expensive to be a Christian? I mean, you know, rich or poor, young, old, employed, not employed, you know, American or, you know, other, you know, you still have lots of opportunities to serve God. Our God is not part of their bank account. He does not love people more or less because of their bank account. But what do we do with the money that we do have, whether it's little or much? You remember the story of the woman that gave two mites, which in today's term would be less than a penny. And you had all these Pharisees, giving big old tithes and stuff like that, all out loud. I'm giving so-and-so. I'm from such-and-such Baptist church, and I'm giving. And you have this woman who just dropped her mite in, and Jesus Christ himself said that she gave more than any of them. What do you do with the money that you have? Do you invest back into the kingdom of God? Would you say that you are giving sacrificially? Or just giving, you know, sacrificially, or just giving the extra? Are we giving what's right? Or are we giving what's left? I'm not here to guilt trip anyone. I'm not here to, contrary to popular belief, I am not here to guilt trip anyone. I'm not here to tell you today how much to give to God and in what manner you have to give. I'm just simply stating facts. Your heart and your treasure will end up in the same place. Where is it? Is your heart on this earth? You know, there's a song by, old song by Lloyd Banks called Beamer, Benz, and Bentley. Beamer, Benz, or Bentley. And the song's talking about money. Beamer, Benz, and Bentley. Is that what you chase? A Beamer, BMW, Benz, Mercedes-Benz, or a Bentley? Are you envious of those people? You know how it is with keeping up with the Joneses. Sometimes the Joneses are our next-door neighbors. For some of us, the Joneses are our Facebook friends. Instagram, Snapchat, followers, people we follow. Are we envious of them living better lives? Them taking more vacations, them buying this and that, them just having more stuff? Are you thinking that a heavenly God only gives us, or only exists to give us, earthly capitalistic country? It's difficult to preach this in a capitalistic country. Capitalistic meaning a country that exists. Literally, we exist on the principle of making money. Let's make this a little more personal. Church, are we consistent in our view of money? Money does talk. What is it saying? Are we simply trying to store treasures here? Do we have programs and events simply to store our earthly treasures? Man, I can hear the air going off back there. How much do we invest in our heavenly treasures? Which one do we do more? Are we so concerned about the budget that we forget that we're here to save lives and lead people to Christ? Are we so concerned about who's giving what that we don't look at where are people's hearts? You know, this whole thing about following the dollar, If we let our money talk, what would it say? I can tell you what it said for Jesus. Jesus was rich, yet for our sake, he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Let us have this mind, which is also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself. He gave up all of the glory and splendor of heaven, the stuff we dream about, the stuff we even preach about. He gave it up and chose to be on this earth. He went on a rugged cross and died for us. See, the prosperity gospel can't explain why he died for us. But the real gospel says that he endured the cross because of the joy set before him. What was that joy? Jesus saw us coming to him for salvation. We died for our sins, treasure. See, that is why he came down, to die for our sins, so that we may have a right to the tree of life, so that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we know that Jesus didn't stay dead, but after 3 days, he rose up. He is risen. Why is that significant? We can have our heavenly treasures because of Jesus. See, this whole thing about earthly, and we can do that because of Jesus. We can have access to the Father and live in his blessings because of Jesus. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about our security because Jesus has secured our salvation. Let us choose to invest in heaven rather than chase what will pass away. As I close, John MacArthur once told a story of a man who passed by a lake and saw what looked like a boy swimming in water. And this boy was in the water and, you know, flailing his arms, splashing everything. He then saw a... So this said, no swimming. So this prompted the man to go up to the boy, and he said, excuse me, I don't know if you read the sign, but you realize you're not supposed to be swimming in this lake? And the boy replied, I'm not swimming, I'm drowning. You know, sometimes swimming and drowning look the same. We may be envious of other storehouses, how they have their garments. Okay, we in a Baptist church, so how they have their garments, how nice they look here. We may be envious of other storehouses, how they have the garments and grain and their gold tucked away. And we're thinking that they're swimming, but really, they're drowning. They could be drowning in debt, trying to keep up. They could be drowning in family issues. They could be drowning in medical issues. And see, some of these are problems that the money and possessions cannot solve. In fact, some of it creates that problem. See, they could be drowning in depression. They could be drowning in anxiety because they can't trust people. They ain't got no real friends. They don't even know who their family is. But worst of all, they could be spiritually drowning because they realize that all is vanity. Come on, Sunday school. All is vanity and striving after wind. They realize that when it's all said and done, I can't take it with me. They realize when it's all said and done, what good does it do for a man to, what does it profit a man to labor under the sun? And the answer that Solomon gives, who was the richest of all time, said, nothing. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. A generation comes and a generation goes. They could be spiritually drowning as they realize their hard work will be enjoyed by others. You know, I've never had that much money, but if I knew that I had to give it to some people and they're irresponsible, all they do is party, all they do is have fun, and they know they're going to get mama's money whenever mama go. For this, they realize that they have prepared so much time for this short time on earth. But as death comes knocking, they realize they have prepared very little for eternity. You know what? We were spiritually drowning too. But thank God we have a lifeguard in Jesus Christ. Trust him and store up treasures in heaven. And we will glorify God among the people. Because our money does talk.